Thanks, guys. Well, this morning, as we have a chance to be able to share together the gift of grace that comes to us from the Word of God, we're going to be reading from the book of Colossians from chapter 2. So this is a part of our sequence that we're doing as we think together about our Advent study. We're studying the book of Colossians, one chapter each week, moving closer and closer to Christmas. And today we're into chapter 2, where we learn something about the mystery of Christ that is coming to us. So I'm hoping you're having a great Christmas. You having a great Christmas so far? I love this Christmas season. It's been a great Christmas season already. It's good things are already unfolding left and right. It's kind of a fun time of year, isn't it? Do you have like do you keep an Advent wreath at your home? Do you do something of that sort? Maybe an Advent calendar? Do anybody keep an Advent calendar? We have one Advent calendar. Well, we have an Advent calendar in our house. We have two. Okay. So in our house, we have an Advent calendar that is a set of beads that you move one bead across, and each day you get to move a new bead. So every day it's Anna's job, and nobody has to remind her to wake up early in the morning, come down the stairs, and the very, very first thing that has to happen is that bead has to move. You have to move closer to Christmas. That's just the rule, you know? And every single day we get closer and closer to Christmas and closer to the celebration. We know that Christmas has this mysterious element to it. There's lots of cultural things that we do around the time of Christmas, around this season. But it's really Jesus who is the center of our experience. And it's really the mystery of Christ that we want to think about today. And that mystery of Christ that came to us in the manger in Bethlehem. So we're going to read chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. These first five verses where we hear the words of the Apostle Paul as he offers a bit of his purpose for writing to the people and for even our hearing today. He says, "For I want you to know how much I am struggling for you and for those in Laodicea and for all who have not seen me face to face. I want their hearts to be encouraged and united in love so that they may have all the riches of assured understanding and have the knowledge of God's mystery, that is, Christ himself, in whom all are hidden, all the things of wisdom and knowledge. And I am saying this so that no one may deceive you with plausible arguments. For though I am absent in body, yet I am with you in spirit, and I rejoice to see your morale and the firmness of your faith in Christ." And so Paul writes this as a word of encouragement. That's his primary objective, provide a word of encouragement. And he says he wants people to be united together in a spirit of love, and he wants them to understand more about the mystery of God, which is Christ. And the way that we understand the mystery of Christ, we have to always go back to Bethlehem. We have to always go back to the manger. So we go back to the manger, and we explore that whole scene, and we try to discover what is it that God would speak to us fresh and new. We see the manger scene so many times in so many different places that it becomes kind of mundane almost to us. Now, do you have some nativity sets in your house? Do you have a nativity set up? We got lots of, okay. So maybe you have a really favorite one. Maybe it's beautiful and artistic and precious, really sacred because of the glory of the creation of it. Or maybe you've got something that you've been kind of toting around for years and years and years. It's a little worn out around the edges, but you love it because it has value to you because of the history. And every time you set it up and every time you walk past and every time you look at it, you remember that child. Actually, don't you find yourself when you sort of look at those nativity sets, it kind of gives you a warm sense of connection, doesn't it? Kind of connects you to the history of all the experience of our faith together. The child born in such a humble setting, born in Bethlehem, the child Jesus. And people waited for that child to be born for centuries, literally for centuries. Even the prophets of old began to point forward to be able to say, it's going to happen. And today we point back and we say, it did happen. And right now we point into our lives at this particular moment and say, it has changed us. It has encouraged us. It has done all the things that the Apostle Paul spoke about. United us in love, encouraged our spirits, and revealed to us something new about the mystery of Christ. The prophet Isaiah spoke about this process with words like this. He said, "For unto us A child is born, unto us a son is given, and authority will rest upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. God's energy and encouragement will do this, and we know that it did. It accomplished it, and the child is born there in Bethlehem, and it becomes a part of the mystery of God. So there are lots of mysteries when we think about the nature of God. There's the mystery of creation. There's the mystery of salvation. There's the mystery about the ingredients of forgiveness. How does that really work? But today we want to think about the mystery that comes to us in the manger. Now, I don't know if you can imagine yourself really being present at that particular moment, but you know that you cannot be united in love in the way that the Apostle Paul speaks about. You cannot do that by yourself. That's a community experience. That's something that you do together. You do it with other people around you. No one came to the manger originally by themselves. Mary and Joseph were together. The angels came as heavenly hosts. Yeah, the shepherds, they didn't come one by one. They came together. Even the three magi who came from the east, they came to bring their gifts united together in a spirit of hope and love. And so we know that it's a corporate experience that connects us to the mystery of God in the manger. I don't know if you can imagine yourself coming close to the manger. I mean, really being present, being right there. Now, this morning at one of the earlier services, there was a little baby who was about a week and a half old, present at the 8 o'clock. Tiny, tiny little thing, as you just kind of looked into that little carrier and saw his face poking out, you know? Can you imagine that? Imagine walking up to the manger, Mary and Joseph there. They're in the barn. And you draw close, and you see a little hand, a tiny little hand, maybe eyes that are moving around. And you the closer you draw, the deeper you will be connected. It's like that case with any infant that you find. The closer you get to them, the more you're connected to them. But in this particular case, we're connected because of the love of God that radiates out from that mysterious place, a sacred location, the manger of Christ. The word manger is one of those words we don't use very often, isn't it? In fact, I think the only time we ever think about manger is when we think about Jesus. Do you ever think about manger outside of the connection to Jesus? That's really the only place we use it. Manger is kind of an interesting word. It comes out of the Old English, means to eat, to eat. And if you turn it into Latin, it means to chew. So literally, it's a place where you could eat or chew. And literally, that's what it was. It was a trough to be able to feed the livestock. But in that trough, the life of Christ is born, and our lives are transformed. It's the mystery that we call the incarnation, the gift of God that comes to us in such a remarkable way. The book of Philippians talks about that gift in this way. It talks about what God did in the birth of Jesus, in allowing God to be present in the earth. He said, "For it was Jesus Christ, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God something to be exploited, but he emptied himself, taking on the form of a servant, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him highly and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father." That every knee should bow. Don't you imagine that's what the shepherds did when they got there to that manger scene? Don't you imagine that's what you would do if you got there? You wouldn't want to just kind of stand and kind of wave. Appropriate to bow and to move close, to get low, to humble yourself in the same way that he humbled himself so that he could enter into our lives. It's a gracious gift, a gift that brings us the gift of salvation, ushers in new life, presents us with the opportunity to be disciples, and gives us a chance to be able to be servants unto the world in the same way that he was a servant to the world. And so together today, as we think about what it means to be united in love and connected together in God, we remember that God has this gracious gift for us that starts in the manger, starts with the birth, and radiates out from there. I hope that this Christmas season, you discover something new about the manger, and open your eyes and your hearts to the reality that God has this gift that comes to us in such a remarkable way that the only thing that we can do is say yes and allow the child in one more time. Even if you've done that 100 times in your life, every season is a new season to be able to say yes to the child in the manger, and then to allow him to grow, to teach you and to lead you and to send you forward to be a servant of the Lord. As we pray together this morning, we're going to offer a time of silence where you can simply take a moment to ponder the gift of the manger scene this day. Let's pray together. Lord, we silently bow before you, inviting you to draw us close to your side. We ask, God, that you would do all the things that you desire in our lives in this season, that you would allow us the privilege of knowing your character, that you would allow us to be blessed by wisdom and understanding and knowledge so we wouldn't be deceived, because you are a holy God. You're the Lord God Almighty, and indeed the whole earth is filled with your glory. And so we ask, God, that you would fill our lives anew as we say yes to you in this season, and as we seek to serve you and to love you with heart, soul, mind, and strength. Grant us grace, we pray, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.